ask John, I believe, to come up and speak for the first 15 minutes.
John, alcoholic. My story, if it doesn't appeal to anybody, I would say stay, because, that someone will have a story that appeals to you, and you're here for a reason. I was born in San Diego. I grew up in an alcoholic family. I knew at a very, I grew up in an alcoholic family. Eventually it came to the point to where my father brought us to Florida without my mother. We came here and, there were some challenges. I'm real nervous here. There was challenges. He took all his investment, opened up a gold shop, and that got robbed. So we were just living off his pension, and it was me and my sister, and it was very tight. $1,200, it didn't go too far. We struggled a lot. We moved around a lot. There was a lot of struggling, and he battled his addiction through raising us. He was still in his addiction, and there was some neglect, there was abuse, and then eventually, it came to the point to where just things got to the point to where the state had to remove us, and me and my sister went into state custody at 8. Till 8 to 17, I stayed in state custody. And all that doesn't make me an alcoholic, but what makes me an alcoholic is when I drink, I can't stop, it does something to me, and there is no kill switch, and then it's either pass out or just go on a spree. In there, I would say my first drink, really my first drink, was about 4 years old. My mom used to let me drink sips of her beer. I can't tell you, there was no wow sensation there. There probably was, but I don't know. I can't really recall too much of that. But I would say, when I drank in there, because, I felt out of place, the situation was, it was around a lot of different, moving around a lot of different kids with a lot of different problems, very challenging. I guess you could say a lot of adversity. I faced a lot of adversity. And when I would recall my first drink, I was on a run, I ran away from one of the places, and I clicked up with some older people, and we were drinking gin and juice. And, I had nowhere to go. We were just basically running the streets, and that the drink, I was sitting in the car and the spotlight hitting me, and I felt like, everything was all right, so we were drinking and doing some other stuff. So that continued on. It would be natural light, St. Ives, just a lot of different type of alcohol. But, the alcohol, it made me whole. It made me comfortable in my own skin. I mean, you hear all the phrases or the way people say it, but, it made me to where I could be around people. I didn't really like being around people. For many different reasons, which, it's... So that's what the drink did, and I did that quite a bit, So time went on, ripping and running. I had a lot of bad ways, I didn't, you know, I grew up, I had a lot of resentments, a lot of venom inside, you know. So there, you know, say I got out about 18, you know, I started drinking. My first DUI I got when I was 19. And then, you know, I moved a little forward. I got engaged and got my license back. And then I got a second DUI where in Dade City, I went into a building with my car. And, you know, I did some time for that. But that didn't stop me. You know, I had a lot of arrogance, a lot of pride, and you know, I really didn't care about a lot of things. You know, to me, it was going to be my way, and there was consequences that I served for that. But that didn't stop me. I didn't think I had a problem. So moving forward, you know, I got married. I had a family. I'm a hard worker, so you know, I was the head of household. So I shelled out a lot of money to legal fees to keep me out of prison. I did a lot of probation in my 20s. There was stints of time I did here and there. 10 months, 7 months, 5 months, through the span of 10 years. And I had 3 kids and, you know, just try to do it my way. And I picked up a chip when I was about 26. I've been to meetings because they require it for DUIs, but I picked up a chip and by that time, though, I pretty much came to the point that I was an alcoholic. But I tried to manage it, you know. It's like a plane kind of hitting turbulence, you know. That's the way my life kind of went. Eventually, you know, that plane, it came down and crashed because in 2010, I got a third DUI. And then, you know, I went to the red door, picked up a chip, and I didn't call anybody. So, you know, there's a suggestion right there. If people ever run into that problem, you know, pick up the rock, man. Because after that happened, my sister dropped off some stuff to calm me down, and I wound up mixing it with a 4-pack of Bud and a bottle of liquor, Jack Daniels, and I blacked out. And I got in my car a week later after that. I got in my car, and I drove my car, and eventually I wound up going into the back of a police cruiser that was stopped at an intersection. If I would have cleared that intersection, I probably would have been sitting in prison for a long time for a fatality, for taking someone's life. So now I contribute that to God. So in there, you know, I did a lot of AA in there. I got out, and, you know, everything deteriorated. I thought I lost everything, but, you know, that's not life. You know, you don't lose everything unless you're dead. You know, then you don't have the opportunity to fix what you've done. I had clean time in there, and I did AA outside with probation, et cetera. And I wound up getting a year and a half sober, and you know, the promises and all the footwork I did, you know, basically I got catapulted, man, the way I see it. And I got an apartment, I wound up getting my kids, but you know, that I didn't, I, you know, I moved away from Brandon, which I was doing my time, and I wound up, I stopped going to meetings, you know. And it just was it was just a point to where, you know, I need these rooms. You know, I have to stay immersed in this program, and I've proven that. So, you know, I had some slips, and you know, it's like hit rock bottom. You know, skid row, homelessness. I mean, you name it. That's been a couple times, and you know, I know this program works. So, you know, and through my character defects that, you know, I try to work tremendously and just, you know, combat and overcome. I don't want to use and drink, you know, because it hurts everybody. It affects my children. It affects just everybody. And then ultimately it comes to the point where I want to die. And, you know, I've battled that, you know, where I was drinking, I thought of suicide and had a plan in my head, but then I checked into a halfway house, and the halfway house they were using. But, you know, right now it's like, you know, the time I have is actually today is I have a little, a small amount of time, but today is actually one of my I pick up a chip today for 90 days, which isn't a lot, but you know, it's so that's what. So right now, currently, you know, I work the way I work with the steps, and I've worked just about all of them with my sponsor, Joe, which I forgot. I have a sponsor. His name's Joe. you know, I work the steps, and I do meetings. I know a handful of people in here, and, you know, I try to do service. You know, to me, service is big. You know, that's out of yourself. And I do service, you know, I try to follow the lead of the people that are doing this deal, and you know, I just try to do the best I can at it. I'm not perfect, you know. Right now, you know, I'm to cover, so I had to reset myself, and I'm in a pretty intensive recovery program. You know, I got some brothers in here that are with me, but you know, and it's good, man. You know, it's a challenge, and it's molding, and it's where I need to be in life right now, and it's going to build a more solid foundation for me, and you know, and I'm going to one day at a time do the best I can at you know, staying sober and having the hand of AA, you know. You know, this disease has taken, it's taken my mother, it's taken my father. I buried my sister this year because she OD'd. You know, and it's like, this is real shit, man. This is the real deal. You know, I see people that I've known die. You know, and you know, this disease is coming for me. You know, it's gunning for my life. And so I'm gonna do everything that I can to cover that, to make sure that don't happen. And, you know, my disease will tell me that everything's okay, but, you know, it's that's the part that, you know, it's going to lie to me. And so I got to stay vigilant of that. You know, it's, I would say my life right now is 90%. You know, why I say that is because, you know, I have really everything that I really need in a sense. You know, and then obviously, as life's designed, I want more. I mean, it's an appealing world, but you know, it's 90%, and yeah, it's good. You know, God is good, I would say I don't know if there's people that, you know, they're struggling, man. They say keep coming back, man. Keep coming back. You know, regardless of what people tell you or how you feel about yourself, I would say keep coming back, man. Don't give up. You know, that saying may seem, you know, kind of worn out or whatever, but I wouldn't be here today if they didn't say keep coming back. You know, I would probably be dead. You know, so, yeah, I would say, you know, be open-minded, man, and do, you know, as much as you don't want to do, just take the suggestions and do them. You know, this is a process of molding for me, you know, and I came a long way, man. You know, I didn't, to where I am now and speaking, at stage fright and all that, you know, I would say, yeah, I've came a long way, and, you know, I'm thankful to be here, and I thank people for allowing me to speak and y'all to put up with me. Thank you very much. Have a great night.